Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, October the 27th, 2023. 15 and a half minutes past the hour. Last Friday in the month of October. Certainly a Getaway Friday. And we have got a huge Friday here planned for you at WGH Talk. This morning at 10:15 a.m., we will be joined by the gentleman from the Upper Crust Society who will be here today with a special pizza in honor of Halloween coming up next week, a pumpkin pizza, and we will all test that live on the air today. They're also bringing a kitty pizza, which we found out the other day is a sugar cookie pizza, and some kind of surprise, which they have not revealed, but by the time we're off the air today, they will reveal what the surprise is about. It has to do with big feet. Now, apparently, I will know what the surprise is and what it means as soon as I see it, but it has to do with big feet. That's the only clue we have. That fun will start this morning at 10:15 a.m. Now, remember, today we're on live through 2 o'clock this afternoon, and then we'll be back on tonight for the Friday Night Live program, 8:15 until 10 p.m. Now, joining us now is a man who is on a trek today to the Cheese State, Wisconsin. Why is he on a trek to the Cheese State, Wisconsin? Because we have got big stakes tomorrow in college football. It's high school football day today. College football day tomorrow. High stakes in college football as Ohio State plays Wisconsin. It's going to be a very big game. And when you have a very big game, you need a very big person to kick off the morning. And that is our pal, legendary superfan, Buckeye Guy. Buckeye Guy, good morning.
Scott Spears, how's everybody doing in Marion and around the world?
Everybody's good. We're almost at 80 degrees today, late October. Can you believe it?
Outstanding. The weather here in Columbus, Ohio, it's high of 65 today. Tomorrow in Madison, Wisconsin, high of 34.
From one extreme to the other.
Oh, man.
You know, Buckeye Guy, tell me about the trip, because I think a lot of people are interested in this. A super fan goes to these games, attends every game. You're headed to Wisconsin. What is that trip like for you? How long does it take, and when do you have to leave?
Well, probably here as soon as we get off of this beautiful, beautiful broadcast. And I want to thank you again for having me here at this monumental occasion. You start out, you get your little cooler. You need a cooler full of water, soda, pop, whatever you call it, a couple of snacks. I like Little Debbie, you know.
What's your favorite Little Debbie?
Oh, the oatmeal cream pie.
Oh, those are good.
Yes. You got to have those because you can tear one open and keep driving. So once you're driving down 70 West, as you know, 70 West will take you all the way out to California. You drive down 70 West, man, get on 65, go through Chicago. You always got to go through Chicago for the big games. The big games are going to be Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and, you know, it's done, but Nebraska, of course. It is outstanding, man. It's a heck of a trek. It's a long trek, like you say. It's a very long ride. So I like to get started early in the day so I can get all the daylight driving in.
Now, how long does it take you to get from Columbus to Wisconsin?
Oh, 10 hours.
10 hours.
Probably 11 with me because I'm not riding by any rest stop, not one. As soon as it says rest stop, two minutes, I'm pulling in.
Now, Buckeye Guy, when you get to Wisconsin, how are you greeted by fans there? Because they have some very ardent fans in Wisconsin, that's for sure.
They're robust, I'll tell you that for certain. The fans are robust. They're famously for starting the fourth quarter with jump around. I've seen 87-year-old ladies with blue hair doing the jump around in the fourth quarter. But they're a proud group, a very proud group in Madison, you know, Wisconsin, at Camp Randall. And I mean Camp Randall.
Now, do you get any cheese while you're in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. My favorite is the hot pepper cheese, and it travels well too. You can put that in your suitcase if, in fact, you put it in enough plastic and wrap it right. You can get it back home. I always try to get some cheese to bring back to Columbus, Ohio.
Now, Buckeye Guy, I was looking at the odds on Fox News this morning for this game, and I think they are the closest odds of any game that Ohio State has had this year. 30, Fox News is predicting right now, 30 Ohio State, 15 Wisconsin. That's just a little over two touchdowns. Do you think that's about right? What do you make of the predictions from Fox News?
Listen, man, I love Fox. They're unbelievable. They put the Ohio State games on TV and you know, all that stuff. But throw that all out of the window, man. When you get to Camp Randall, you got a coach down there that went to Ohio State, knows Ohio State, in Luke Fickell. Luke Fickell's one heck of a coach. He's done great things down there in Cincinnati. Now he's in the Cheese State. It would do him nothing prouder not only to play Ohio State close, but to even beat his alma mater. Of course, it's a setup game. It's a trap game. We're always looking forward to the big game at the end of the season. We need to take care of these games as they come on the schedule.
Now, you brought up a very interesting point there. He was an interim coach at Ohio State. It is his alma mater, Luke Fickell. He's coaching great by all accounts. Now, obviously, this is not the Michigan game, but second to the Michigan game because of the ardent fans in Wisconsin, because this is not a home game, Ohio State playing in Wisconsin, and because the fact that Luke Fickell is the coach, would you consider this a bit of a rivalry here?
Immediate, instant rivalry. As soon as he left Cincinnati, as soon as he left the Ohio, you know, turnpike, it's a rivalry. As soon as he picks up down here. Barry Alvarez was somebody's coach. Now, you know, he's down there to GM or like you wouldn't believe. Listen, guys, Wisconsin ain't no easy place to play. I said it. I've been there time and time again. Don't forget, it's a night game. The game starts at 7:30. That means the temperatures could fall into the 20s. It's a high of 34. All the writing's on the wall are going to be, we need to play our best game, get in there, get out of there with the win.
You know what it puts me in the mind of, Buckeye Guy? Many years ago, when we had the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry between Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler, many people forget Bo Schembechler started out as a coach under Woody Hayes. So this Luke Fickell, who was an interim coach at Ohio State, I think, hey, this is a little bit of the Bo Schembechler-Woody Hayes days.
People forget that, man, that Bo Schembechler was on Woody's staff. He took a lot of Woody-isms, if you will, up there to that school up north. I'm telling you, man, just the same way at Wisconsin, Luke Fickell's one heck of a coach. We look for him to go down swinging. He's not just going to stand there and take.
Now, two quick questions, because I know you got to get on the road here, Buckeye Guy. You're heading from mid-60-degree weather here in Columbus, Ohio, Marion, Ohio. We're going to be in the upper 70s today, to mid-30s tomorrow night in a night game, because it'll be cold. Once that sun goes down in Wisconsin, the wind will be whipping there. How does Buckeye Guy stay warm in temperatures like that?
Where you want to layer up, and you don't want to layer up with large coats. You want to layer up with small to medium coats, because I'd look like the Stay Puft Frosty Softy Man if I had on all of my big coats. I want to put smaller coats on just to make sure that you have layers is always the key. And a couple of pair of socks and a good, nice pair of gloves, something for your ears.
And the other big question, of course, Fox News has given it 30 Ohio State, their prediction, 30 Ohio State, 15 Wisconsin. What is the official WGH Talk Buckeye Guy prediction for tomorrow night?
The WGH Talk prediction from Buckeye Guy, from my lips to your listeners' ears in Marion and around the world and globe, I'm going to go 35-17.
35 Ohio State, 17 Wisconsin. But in all, and you're the super fan, is Ohio State in more danger of losing their first game tomorrow night than at any other time during the season?
I think Ohio State plays Ohio State football. We have to not even look in our rearview mirror. Marvin Harrison is somebody's football player. Our quarterback is coming along. Our line is coming along. If we get two turnovers, we might beat them by 21.
Buckeye Guy, safe travels to you, and we will talk to you again Monday morning, my friend, and recap what happened in the Cheese State.
I look so very forward to it, Scott, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Buckeye Guy.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Well, our dear friend Buckeye Guy, Pete, we didn't have the prediction for a couple weeks, and everybody, well, what was Buckeye Guy's prediction? Why didn't you have him on? Well, here we go. He was on this morning. He's getting ready to head to Madison, Wisconsin for the big showdown in the Cheese State tomorrow night, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Fox News' official prediction, 30-15, Ohio State. Buckeye Guy's official prediction, 35-17, Ohio State. And he's got oatmeal cream pies loaded up in the car, ready to make that 11-hour trek to Wisconsin. Joining us in the studio, because his alarm must have gone off this morning, is Matt Morgan. Matt, let's make sure I hit the right microphone here today. How's it going, Mike? Matt? Mike? That's where I am this morning.
Pretty good. How you doing, Scott?
Doing good. Is it fun to get up and come in here when it's still dark out?
I don't like to wake up early in general, usually.
But the fun that you have here just kind of negates all that, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, we've got a very big day today. Not that Friday is not a big day in general, but at 10 o'clock this morning, our friend Bob Welsh is going to show up from Columbus, Ohio, and we're going to have the pumpkin pizza in celebration of Halloween on Tuesday.
Tuesday,
I believe, is Halloween, yes.
Man.
You excited?
For Halloween?
No, the pumpkin pizza here today.
That's interesting. Is it going to be like a pumpkin pie?
I don't know yet. It's all a surprise to me when it shows up. Now, there will also be a kiddie pizza, which Bob revealed the other day, is a sugar cookie pizza.
I don't know about that.
You don't like sugar cookies?
I do not. Well, I mean, I guess...
What do you like?
I guess sugar cookies are okay.
Chili. You like chili. What about a chili pizza?
I eat chili pizza.
Then there's something Bob is bringing. We don't know what it is yet, but apparently it has something to do with big feet. That was our clue. And he said, I'll know what it is when it gets here. But I can't remember talking about big feet ever on the air. I don't know what this is. I have no idea.
He's done captured the first ever Bigfoot.
Oh, you think he's captured the first ever Bigfoot? Well, maybe that's what it is. I even said to him when he called in, I think yesterday or the day before, I said, Bob, I said, I don't ever remember talking about big feet on the air. And he says, well, I don't think you have. So I really don't know what this is.
Well, I mean, I'm sure Bob knows what he's talking about. I'm sure you'll see it and be like, oh, okay.
Well, that fun all starts this morning at 10:15. Now, don't forget, we've got Pastor Whitaker at 9:15 today. We've got the big festivities at 10 a.m. Matt and Bob will be here, and we'll have all the pizzas, and you'll be our official photographer during all that, because you got to get pictures of all this stuff. And then 11 o'clock, Pastor Craig will be on. Then we'll all be on together at 12 o'clock for the exchange. And then Pastor Craig's new show, which started last week and was a great show, Study His Word, will be on at 1:15 until 2. And then we'll all be back here tonight at 8:15 until 10 p.m. So to recap everything that happened today. So there we are. Other than that, what's new with you?
Not much.
How you feeling about Buckeye Guy's prediction here?
It sounds about accurate. I mean, I don't know. I think that Ohio State, has, like always, has the better chance of winning here.
Yeah, but there's a lot going into this. Number one, this game is going to be played in Wisconsin. I think they're the best team Ohio State has played all season. Luke Fickell is coaching that team, former Ohio State coach. I think he wants to win the game. I don't know.
Well, I think that everybody who plays Ohio State wants to win the game, but also is Wisconsin ranked?
You know, I'm not sure. I didn't look that up. But I think that people consider them a very good team just by the odds here, obviously.
Yeah, but, I mean, they beat Penn State, who was ranked.
Right, so they probably are. But you don't think there's a little bit of a rivalry in Luke Fickell's mind, the former head coach of Ohio State, thinking, I want to win this game?
Like I said, I think everybody wants to win a game. It might be a little different for him because he came from Ohio State, but I mean, I don't think he's going to treat it any differently than he does any other game.
See, I think there is a little difference in the air when there's a rivalry. Like Michigan-Ohio State, I think Michigan really wants to win that game. I think Ohio State really wants to win that game. I think bowl games are very similar. I think if you have a former coach who coached some of your players in years past, I think they probably want to win it more than just playing a team that they meet on the field. Personal vendettas make for, I think, I think a personal vendetta drives you more. You want to beat everybody, yes, but if you really don't like or you really have some reason to want to win, I think it's a little more. We talked about this the other day. You were challenging somebody to a boxing match.
No. I was being challenged.
You were being challenged to a boxing match. And I said that, I'm not going to get into what the betting on that was, but the thing that the other person wanted to bet was a motivator for them. And if they didn't have that motivator, I don't think they would be as motivated. And they even admitted, yes, that would motivate me to want to win more. So why would I try to fuel their motivation? That doesn't make any sense.
He was an interim head coach. It's not like they fired him. It was kind of like
Well, they didn't hire him either.
Nobody hires interim head coaches.
Wisconsin hired him.
Yeah, but he wasn't an interim for them. They hired him at the head coach position. Ohio State picked him up.
Well, that's what I'm
saying.
Why didn't Ohio State hire him? I think there might maybe some bitterness. I can't say that that's true, but they tossed him out and brought in Urban Meyer, and then when Urban Meyer went by the wayside for some interesting conduct, they brought in Ryan Day, and I certainly don't think Ryan Day had any more credentials than Luke Fickell. So why not bring in Luke at that point?
I guess they just liked Ryan Day better. But like,
and that would bring up some hostility.
I don't know. Like,
gonna move to Wisconsin?
I can't think of his name, but like the Colts had an interim head coach, and he was a player who had played for the Colts previously. And then he was an interim, obviously, and then he's not there anymore, because guess what? Interims don't last. The Packers had an interim head coach when we fired Mike McCarthy. He did not last.
I'm not saying that they should have hired Luke Fickell at that time. This was to fill in for Jim Tressel, who was let go, or resigned, however you want to say it.
I just think if you are an interim head coach, it's kind of set in precedence that you're like 97% chance not going to be there next year.
Yeah, I'm not saying he should be bitter about that. What I'm saying is that when the Urban Meyer, because he was squeezed in between two coaches who were either fired or asked to resign for bad conduct, and they were also both paid quite a bit more than Luke was. And when it came time to hire another coach, Ohio State didn't go out and try to find a big name like they did when Tressel was out of there and got Urban Meyer. They got basically an obscure name, Ryan Day. Luke Fickell could have filled that bill, and I don't even think Luke Fickell had the Wisconsin job at that point. So I think that's what he might be bitter about.
I mean, I don't know. Did he try for the job?
I don't think we'll ever know. I don't think they release who put in applications or who they were looking at or any of that.
I mean, they do for the NFL. Every offseason you'll hear, oh, this person's talking to this person.
I mean, college football's a little different because I think they try to keep a lid on it, especially Ohio State, because they'd had such about 20 years of drama with their head coaches. The Jim Tressel scandal, the Urban Meyer scandal, the interim coach Luke Fickle. I think they just had about 20 years of trouble.
I mean, I'm going to be for real with you. I don't even know who Luke Fickle is, but I would choose. I mean, I didn't know who Urban Meyer was either, but Urban Meyer definitely turned out to be a better head coach, I would say, than Luke Fickle would have.
Oh, and I don't think he would deny that. I just think that when it came for Ryan Day to go, that's where, because now they're both head coaches. Luke Fickle's a head coach. Ryan Day's a head coach. That's when I think he might feel that he was overturned. Because I think he was still living in Ohio at that point, because I think Luke Fickle did some work in the Cleveland area. I forget what the job was, but it was in football. Ohio boy had to move to Wisconsin to get a head coaching job. So if he comes in and smashes them tomorrow, he'll be able to say, well, there you go. You had your chance.
I mean, I guess so, but I mean, at the end of the day, if I was a head coach from Wisconsin and I beat Ohio State, and then I don't think he's that salty about it. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, Bo Schembechler certainly was, and I don't even think he was fired. I just think he took the job in Michigan, but he wanted to beat Ohio State. He wanted to beat the team that he came from.
I mean, I'm sure that's like a thing, but I don't know.
The predictions sound right. You're closer to Fox News or Buckeye Guy here. Fox News says 30-15 Ohio State. Buckeye Guy says 35-17 Ohio State.
I'm gonna have to go like 35-21.
Could be. We'll see what happens. Now, I was talking, you looked at yesterday's Marian Star, right?
Yeah.
Lead story above the fold, Vampire Girl. Which is interesting because we had done that story the night before. We had taped a Halloween episode of The Exchange, which will be on YouTube at some point today, if you search Exchange Scott Spears. And that's okay. I mean, it was an Ohio story. It was Worcester is where this woman lives. But I never dreamed in all my years that on the front page of the Marian Star above the fold, now we've got an auditor who's been asked to resign. We've got all kinds of political races going on. We're going to elect a new mayor for the first time in 16 years in under 2 weeks now. You've got the auditor being called on to resign. You've got a River Valley school levy going on. You've got all this going on in the community. By the way, the boulevard is beautifully paved now after weeks and weeks of being shut down and driving on gravel. And what is the front page story of the Marian Star yesterday? Above the fold, color picture, Vampire in Worcester. There you go.
You know, they gotta get in on the Halloween spirit, I guess.
But see, yesterday was not Halloween. I could have even given them a pass if they had run that story on Halloween.
Like, it's not even close to Christmas yet, and they already got Christmas decorations and things like that for sale. So what's your point?
Well, this is a newspaper. It's a daily newspaper supposed to give you news.
Yeah,
that seems a little frivolous to me to put a story. I mean, what is the news value, first of all? We have news going on in Ohio. We know they're short-staffed. I'm not saying that they're not short-staffed. Maybe they couldn't come up with a local story yesterday. But you could, above the fold on the front page, you couldn't have run a story maybe on something. Marijuana, you couldn't have run a story on that. That's coming up on the 7th. You couldn't have run a story on abortion. That's coming up on the 7th. You couldn't have run a story of anything going on in Ohio anywhere. A vampire who lives in Worcester is your big story to sell papers?
I mean, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do, I guess, to get people to buy papers.
But were they buying that paper? I don't think they were.
I don't know. I mean, when I left yesterday, there were only like two or three left. So they were buying
But we only had like four to begin with when the day started.
I don't believe that. I think we get a lot more than four.
I don't think people were buying on the basis of that story. I don't think that sold newspapers. I can't imagine it did.
I mean, I can't imagine buying a newspaper.
Well, you're from a different generation. Newspapers are supposed to give you the news, and this is the Marion Star, so it's supposed to give you Marion news. Like I said yesterday, at least they could have put a local vampire on the front page of the paper.
I don't think they have anybody to do the legwork to do that.
Right, but that's what my point is again. They couldn't have run a state story. There wasn't one state story yesterday that they could have run that had to do with news, not a vampire.
I mean, the Columbus Dispatch talked about... Man, I read the Columbus Dispatch one. They talked about... They talked about how Mike Johnson, I do believe, that's his first name, is the new Speaker of the House.
There you go. You, the day that we elect a new Speaker of the House, every other newspaper, USA Today, Columbus Dispatch, all have that as the lead story. Marion, Ohio, Vampire Girl in Worcester. Don't you see the juxtaposition here?
I mean, yeah, but I mean...
Well, today's lead story in the Marion Star, by the way, is that the Christmas Story house in Cleveland has sold, but they're not releasing who bought it.
Did they usually release who buys houses?
I think they're going to release it in November, I guess, when all the loose ends are tied up. But now, real estate in Cleveland is the lead story in the Marion Star today. We're really knocking them dead locally.
Seems like it.
So, I don't know. This comes down to me to be the layout person's fault.
Is a Christmas movie the one where the Santa says to the one kid that like he asked for a BB gun? He says, "Oh, you'll shoot your eye out, kid."
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that house is in Cleveland. I've been there two or three times. Had a lot of fun visiting there, but. It sold. We knew it was on the market last year. They did a reboot of the movie last year, and people seemed to like it. Got a lot of attention. It's sold now. But why is that the lead story in Marion, Ohio?
I just think they don't know what to put at the top of the paper anymore.
It's not really news. It's more of like, you know, if you watch like a television program, it's like the filler at the end. It's not really news. You wouldn't lead the 6 o'clock news with the Christmas Story house being sold or a vampire in Worcester.
I wouldn't surprise me if they started leading the news with about something like a vampire in Worcester.
I don't think, when you have a new Speaker of the House elected, you're under 14 days from an election, you've got an auditor under pressure locally, you've got a 16-year mayor leaving, you've got school board levies on the ballot, and that's your lead story? Abortion, the legalization of marijuana, recreational marijuana, abortion, all possibly on the ballot, and Christmas Story House, and... Vampire woman are dominating the paper.
I mean, I don't really know what you want them to do. Like,
not put that on the front. Put that somewhere else in the paper.
None of those stories are written by them. They're all from like USA Today or like Columbus Dispatch, and they don't have.
But there are other stories in the paper. I think there would be something more pertinent to put on the front page.
If it's not written about, they don't have anybody to write it.
No, but there are other stories, is what I'm saying. They could take any story and put it on the front page, just like they took that story and put it on the front page.
They're probably, like, you think they're a day behind on news?
No news happened that day, but a girl in Worcester being a vampire?
I mean, I don't know. But, like, I don't know what the news looked like.
I have to just have to get her on the show, apparently. I got to book her because she's where it's at.
Do it?
I guess.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I'm so proud of myself. I think I may have thought up of the corniest joke ever, but you're just, this is a gut buster to me. I'm so proud of myself. In relationship to the vampire front page story, if it bleeds, it leads. I'm here all day, folks.
I like it. How do you feel about Matt's opinion here that of all the stories
Matt's
in...
Matt's not an opinion.
Yeah, Matt had an opinion here. Of all the stories that could have been put on the front page, should that have been the one, or today, the fact that the Christmas Story house in Cleveland sold?
Well, Matt, what do you think about my little scenario? I don't know if you were tuning in yesterday, but I asked Scott what would he do if she sank her fangs into his neck, and he said that he'd have her sign it, put her signature next to the bike.
Well, she's a celebrity. There have been people who've lived in Marion County and done good deeds all their life and have never been on the front page of the paper. I'm going to tell those people and all those philanthropists, listen, just call yourself a vampire. You'll be on the front page in no time.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't be all serious. You have to have some kind of...
No, and I'm not saying I'm not saying it's not a story, and I'm not saying we haven't done frivolous stories around here.
Yeah, because you probably have been busy offending members of the vampire community left and right.
You know, that could be trouble. Well, now that I think about it, I wonder what. But they're too busy posing for papers right now, so I don't think they'll come after me. I'm probably small potatoes to them.
Well, in the meanwhile, make good use of your time. Go get a steak, and you'll need some a crucifix and some garlic.
Now, should I get like a T-bone or a sirloin or what?
I like ribeyes, but you do what you let your conscience be your guide.
Oh, well, you know, maybe I'll have her over. She's married, but that hasn't stopped anybody else in the past.
Now, isn't there some sort of sexual like connotation to vampirism, like? I never really saw where, like, lady vampires bit lady vampires or dude vampires bit dude vampires.
Well, she's 28 years old and married to a man, from what I understand, so I don't... You, sexual in what way?
Well, like, Bram Stoker, you know, the good old, like, Bela Lugosi and all that. It was always some dude biting some hot chick on the neck. Like, it wasn't ever, like, he never went after another dude.
So this is supposed to be a hot thing, like a turn-on, that this girl, I mean, she doesn't
there
look...
There is, to me, the way I perceived it, there was some sort of underlying sexual connotation. I mean, look at the whole Twilight series. That was more of like a love story than anything.
I think you're going to have to explain to Scott Twilight. I tried to explain it to him last night, but because I hardly knew the movie, I couldn't really explain it.
Listen, let's take it easy. Scott and I are the same age, so you listen, you young pup. Take it easy on us boomers.
So you're telling me I should get a nice sirloin, couple sirloin steaks, take this vampire out on a date.
I didn't say sirloin, I said ribeye.
Okay, get a couple ribeyes, take this vampire out on a date in Worcester. She only lives an hour away, and apparently that's going to be some sexual fantasy. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, when she goes to drink your blood and... Yeah, that's kind of... I mean, because do you see what I'm saying? Like, the vampires always... It was always some kind of beautiful young lady, and it was like, you know, then they crept up on her and went in for the kill and got her on her neck. It was never like some... Like, the vampire never went out and found, like, a lumberjack or anything.
You know, if I've said it once on this show, I've said it 1,000 times. Nothing turns me on more than somebody drinking my blood.
Well, different strokes for different
folks. Different strokes for different folks. What do you got?
Bye, y'all.
Thanks. Bye-bye. You know, I don't know. I don't know if that has any sexual connotation.
I mean, most vampire movies are... Well, I guess I don't know about most, but the biggest vampire movie today to my knowledge, Twilight, is, like she said, based entirely in romance.
Well, you know, there have been some people in my past who've sucked the life out of me, so why not have this vampire suck the blood out of me?
Well,
there you go. Well, I just don't understand it being on the front page. They could have put it on, like, page 3 and put the new speaker of the house. I'm not saying they could have even had a local story. Listen, maybe the guy is tied up.
I think the issue with putting a speaker of the house story on the front page is that... the Speaker of the House was chosen. I don't know how they, like, how they do it, because like the Speaker of the House was chosen that day, so I assume they wrote the newspapers and then published them after they were chosen. Because I'm like, how else do you know? But the Marion Star just has other people's stories, so maybe they just didn't like it. That story wasn't a thing when they ran that when they were getting the news stories for that paper.
There had to be another story that wasn't a vampire. Do you even understand what you're saying when you say that a vampire in Worcester was the front page story above the fold color on the Marion Star? You're telling me there wasn't anything going on that day more serious in the world?
I think the picture really, really helped, though. I mean, I guess you could have put...
Well, this girl and I are going to be together soon. I made contact with her, by the way. Did I mention this?
You didn't...
Oh, yes, I've talked to the vampire.
Nice.
The vampire and I are going to be together very soon.
Really?
Well, I figured she's on the front page of the paper. They've made her a star here, so I've got to have her on.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
It'll be good.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one. Coming up for the... I got to get the paper. I don't have the paper. I want to show her the paper now that I know that we're going to connect.
When I was reading the Marion Star the other day...
Does anybody have the paper? Okay.
When I was reading the Marion Star the other day at work, the little, like, caption thing for the picture had said that there's a league of vampires that claims to have sent out surveys and that there are up to 5,000 active vampires in the United States.
Wow. Only, well, 5,000 really is not a lot, I guess, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, but, you know, 5,000 is a lot more than you know. I just don't know about all that.
Okay, what about the... By the way, call in if you want to say something. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'll be here through 1 o'clock this afternoon if anybody has an old paper they want to drop off that you don't want to recycle. It'd be nice because if I meet her, I want to show her that she was on the front page of our local paper. Maybe that'll be a peace offering.
I mean, you think you're going to show her that, and then she's going to be like, okay, I guess I just won't suck
your blood, yeah, yeah. Well, maybe it'll be like a move forward in our relationship. I don't know. It's just one of those things.
I mean, she had to have known she was on the front page of newspapers.
But not maybe President Harding's paper. I'll really impress her. I'll get her autograph, and we'll frame it in the studio as the day President Harding turned over in his grave.
Isn't one of your favorite sayings, if it's news to Marion, it's news to the Marion Star?
Well, I don't know if I've ever said that on the air, but why not bring it up here this morning? No, it's okay. It's okay. No, but there was a saying many years ago, and I did not come up with this saying, so don't lay it on my feet.
I just said you like to say it. I didn't say you came up with it.
I didn't come up with it, but years ago, it used to be said that if it's news in Marion, it's news to them.
I mean...
So, there you go.
I mean, that's good.
Yeah. But it's hard. It's hard when you don't have local reporters. All I'm saying is if I was the person laying that paper out, they had to have more than that story in the paper. Like today, the story of the Christmas... The story of the Christmas Story house being sold. You're looking at all the papers that... All the stories that could have headlined the paper today, and that's the one you chose?
I mean, it seems they're just picking, like, holiday-themed ones.
Well, they're picking frivolous stories that really have no news value.
Yeah, but...
Well, like you just said, okay, let's say they couldn't get Speaker of the House in yesterday because the story wasn't ready. Well, they certainly could have got it in today, but no, they chose the selling of the Christmas Story house up in Cleveland.
Well, you know...
Maybe, hey, listen, you know, tomorrow the story might be that the vampire from Worcester is moving into the Christmas Story house in Cleveland that she bought it. Boy, wouldn't that be a front page story? That'd probably be like a 3-day spread.
Gotta make sure you really get the news out there about that one.
Man, I had no idea these stories were so hot. But we're gonna get that vampire on here before Halloween. That's my goal. And we've got very little time considering Halloween's coming up on Tuesday. You want to meet the vampire, don't you?
That'd be nice.
Yeah, so maybe we'll take you on that trip up there. It's only an hour. Worcester. It's not that far away. It's not like going to Wisconsin.
How far did Buckeye Guy say Wisconsin was?
I think he said 10 hours, but he takes 11 because he stops at a lot of rest stops.
Well, I guess we're like... I don't know. Okay. Nice.
Well, you know,
it's supposed to be freezing up there.
Oh yeah, in Wisconsin, 30s. Yeah. Well, that also might affect Ohio State. You got to. Weather always affects. Don't forget, we got the top 10 list coming up today and one tonight from Bob. Bob will actually be in the studio coming up at 10:15. We've got pumpkin pie pizza. No, it's not pumpkin pie. It's pumpkin pizza, which might be different than pumpkin pie pizza. We're going to test it live on the air, as we always do. We'll take pictures of them and put them up on Facebook, but we will not taste them until it's time to come on air. And then we'll have the sugar cookie, pizza, and then whatever has to do with Big Feet. I don't know what that is, but we'll find out. Quickly here, we have about 4 minutes before we're at the top of the hour, news, weather, and all that. You went to City Council Monday. What'd you make of the whole situation that happened there with the auditor? I've explained it, but what did you take away from Monday?
It seems that they are very unhappy with the auditor as of currently. It didn't seem like any of the city council members really were all in favor of Miranda.
Do you think it was fair?
I don't think you should just go about bashing people like that in public. I feel like if you have a problem with people, you should take it up in a public, not in a public manner, in a private manner, instead of just bashing them in a meeting.
On a scale of 1 to 10, for somebody who was sitting right there, how bad do you think they went after her? For you, who has paid attention now to city politics, you were here when I did the interview with Miranda. You listen to interviews on the station. You're aware of what's going on. To see that happen, did you think that's the way to handle it?
I don't think so. Like I said, I don't think that just bashing people is ever a good way to handle anything.
Well, and I brought this up yesterday, and listen, politics is politics, so I'm certainly not coming down on anybody for this, but Ayers Ratliff, who's running for 2nd Ward City Council, has a new social media post out. Now, here's what it is. Keep Ratliff 2nd Ward City Council. With an incompetent city auditor, we need an experienced city councilman. That's his ad. Do you think that's going to do him harm or help him win that election?
I don't know.
He seems to be going after her kind of hard. He was the one at the city council meeting who led the charge.
Yeah. He specifically asked for to get emails forwarded to him about trying to force somebody.
Do you think she's incompetent? Is that really the issue here? Is she incompetent? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not in the auditor's office, so I can't speak to the work that she does, but I think when she was on here, she didn't sound incompetent. I think she might just be in over her head. They got a lot of stuff to do.
Just got a message from Bob Welsh, who's going to be on his way here momentarily to Marion, Ohio, and he's got a bonus top 10 list today. Bonus top 10 list.
That's always nice.
It's happening here today on WGH Talk. But do you think on the hall that this will do Ayers good or bad? Do you think people will read that and go, yes, we need to elect him, or will people say, well, that's kind of, that's an unfair shot, and we're not going to vote for you?
I think people who like the auditor won't like it, but I think people who dislike the auditor will like it.
Do you think there's a general swell? We know what's going on at city council.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a general swell in the city to dislike her?
No, I don't think so.
You know why? Because nobody knows, because we've got that vampire on the front page of the paper.
I agree, you know.
If you were just reading stories about the auditor, which I think there have been two in the last 2 weeks, do you think that she would come off bad?
I've only read one of the stories from the past 2 weeks, but yeah, I don't think she'd come off as favorable.
Pastor Whitaker coming up here in 15 minutes, and Matt will rejoin us at 10:15 with Bob Welsh, and I think Eric's coming with him today, but if not, we're going to have Bob and the pumpkin pizza, the famed pumpkin pizza, as well as the cookie pizza, a bonus top 10 list, and something to do with Big Feet, a big surprise. Buckeye Guys prediction for the Ohio State-Wisconsin game, Ohio State 35, Wisconsin 17, as Buckeye Guy is on his way to Madison right now. All right, we'll be back in 15 minutes.
There's no rhythm to it. Of course, it doesn't. I think in the end it doesn't matter, but it's just whatever you think. So I thought Marla, I wanted the M, so Marla Gibbs had a better rhythm to me.
Marla,
so I don't know that's why it was successful, but it was successful. So.
You're the only Marla I've ever known, and thank goodness, because you're one of a kind.
I've got two Marlas.
Oh, there is another Marla.